there's a better place to get your podcasts. GCNLive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNLive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. Jim Paris here with you live on Sunday nights. The website is ChristianMoney.com. I'm super excited to introduce our guest for this hour. And I'll tell you what, if you are someone that enjoys reading conspiracy books, you got to get this one. I have to tell you this, it's absolutely true. Many times I get free books when I have guests on. In this case, because it was last minute, I got a PDF of the book, but I separately purchased the book on my Kindle device as well, so I could read it myself in a better, you know, easier format than a PDF. I don't do that in every book, but, and I'll tell you why this book, you will find it fascinating, because if you're someone that's a little bit ADHD like me, sometimes if you read a whole book on just one narrow topic, you can get a little bit bored, as interesting as the author might be. But this book, Hidden History by Don Jeffries, this book gets into every conspiracy known to God and man. I mean, it almost goes back to the Garden of Eden. And it's fascinating the take that Don Jeffries has on one conspiracy after the next. I mean, this is one of those books where if you have a vacation planned, you've got a long flight planned, I mean, you just have to get this book. It is really, really interesting. And to call it a page turner would be an understatement. And I heard Don Jeffries on a talk show. I listen to a lot of talk radio. I heard him recently, and I was just fascinated. This is a really smart guy. He's been researching the JFK assassination since the 1970s. You may know him from another book that he wrote called The On Reels, and that was a novel. But this is his first nonfiction book. It's called Hidden History, and the subtitle is what I love, an expose of modern crimes, conspiracies, and cover-ups in American politics. And Don Jeffries, welcome to Jim Paris Live for the first time. Good to have you with us, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Thanks for the kind words, Jim.
Oh, I tell you this, what a great book. What a great book. All right, let's start with the Clintons, I guess, because today is good timing for that. And it seems like we've all forgotten about all of the Clinton scandals and conspiracies. As you put it in your book, Chapter 6, The Clinton Years, Conspiracy Central. And it seems like we've forgotten about all of these. For example, why don't we start with the Vince Foster case for people maybe who are too young to remember that or have a bad memory like me? Tell us about who Vince Foster was and what your take is on what might have happened there.
Well, yeah, you're right. That's a good one to start with. Vince Foster was the highest ranking executive officer, I believe, to die in office since JFK at the time. And all you really need to know about that, and to know how these, you know, and you can see the pattern throughout my book, it's just kind of an uninterrupted timeline of corruption, and these events happen, they're always inadequately explained. Now you have people on the internet that just, you know, can expose them in a half an hour, you know, with just a little bit of work that real journalists or so-called real journalists don't do. But in Vince Foster's case, all you need to know is that there's a Secret Service memo out there. It exists. It's an actual memo that describes finding his body in his car, which, of course, contradicts everything about the crime scene. And, you know, it puts everyone under the microscope that was there, all the medical people, all the political people. And it's those kind of things that intrigue me, because these are, you know, they're official documents that are tripping themselves up, and it happens in every one of these cases. And, you know, certainly everything about Vince Foster. I mean, the way they obviously the story changed, and I described in my book how the witness was harassed later and everything. And, you know, we have the person that was supposedly investigating it, Kenneth Starr, who's described in typical mainstream media terms as some kind of a Clinton, you know, harasser who's going after him nonstop, when in all reality he excused all of these really serious things associated with the Clintons, including Vince Foster, and then, of course, ended up, you know, going after him for a relatively trivial thing with the Monica Lewinsky thing. But in the case of Vince Foster, certainly everything about the crime is open to question. I mean, people, I would suggest they just read the entire chapter to go over all the minutiae in it, but it's what we find in all these cases. And then you're considered to be some kind of a kook. At least back then you were. I mean, the Clinton body count was the first so-called body count that they referred to as such. But he had quite a body count. Vince Foster.
And you're not someone who is necessarily a conservative that is just against the Clintons because they're Democrats. Because as I was reading the book today, I noticed you have very favorable views, for example, of the Kennedys. Which would be, you know, okay, so you're a fair guy. You like the Kennedys, but you don't like the Clintons, so it's not like you're just somebody who is a hitman going only after liberals, because you're also going after Reagan here. You're going after the Bushes. I mean, there's nobody really that gets left out here, and it goes all the way back. We've got RFK. We've got Chappaquiddick discussed in this book. Talk about, though, continue on with the Clintons here for a little bit longer. What about the so-called body count? There was some really eerie stuff towards the end of that chapter where you talk about mysterious deaths of people that had written about the Clintons. And what is the body count of the people that seem to be sort of on the wrong side of the line with the Clintons who ended up having sort of mysterious deaths?
Well, I think that, you know, as I put, there were deaths like that associated with Reagan and the first Bush, of course, too. And LBJ was, you know, he had a body count, you know, a mile long. But the Clinton, I think, had the bad luck, I guess, the misfortune of coming into office right when the Internet was about to be born. And once the Internet, especially in a second term, once the Internet was out there, these things became publicized, and we didn't have to rely on the television stations and the big stream, the mainstream newspapers and magazines, which were, you know, going to do what they typically do, which is just, you know, laugh all these kind of suggestions off. And you had, you know, they were clearly his political enemies that came out and publicized this, but you look it up and it's there. I mean, I talked to Linda Tripp. I had like a, you know, half hour conversation with her. She's a very nice woman, and her life was destroyed in the press. She's very lucky she wasn't a member, you know, a statistic in the Clinton body count. But she described to me how everyone in the White House knew about it. They all discussed the Clinton body count. They knew about all the deaths, and she tried to, you know, warn Monica Lewinsky, you don't want to become another member of that body count.
So some of these people happened to become famous enough in the news, Lewinsky, Tripp, that it would have been too obvious for them to have been knocked off. But you make mention here of the so-called Starbucks murder, as you call it. Right. Mary Mahoney, a 25-year-old former White House intern who was working as an assistant manager at a Starbucks in Georgetown near Washington, D.C., and she happened to be an associate of Monica Lewinsky. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of something where it cried out for a real journalist, a Lois Lane type, you know, these crusading reporters that we see in Hollywood that just don't exist in real life. Because here you had, I mean, just talk about a case that smelled. I mean, it just doesn't happen. You ask anybody in law enforcement where somebody comes in and murders people like that and doesn't rob. There's no robbery involved. And the guy they eventually blamed for it, which I believe he was a petty criminal type. I don't believe for a second he was guilty, but, you know, he was handy, and they squared him away to prison. I tried to find, I can't remember his name right now, but I couldn't find hide or hair of him. I could not find any.
So this young lady, Mary Mahoney, she's 25 years old.
Right.
She's an associate of Monica Lewinsky, and not only her, but two of her friends. So the three of these folks, the young ladies, they're killed execution style,
right?
And there's no robbery, nothing, and there's no reason for this. What other reason could there have been?
Exactly.
I mean, it makes no sense, and it goes on and on and on with the Clintons. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, maybe a little bit more on the Clintons, then we'll get into the Kennedys. Wow, what a great book here. Our guest is Don Jeffries, the book Hidden History. We'll be right back.
became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back, and what a great book here. We're talking about Hidden History, an expose of modern crimes, conspiracies, and cover-ups in American politics. The author, Don Jeffries, is with us. You can get the book over at Amazon.com. It's available in print. Also, you can get it for your Kindle. And since today is the day, we're talking about the Clintons here a little bit, and then we'll move ahead momentarily. Don, tell me about former Miss Arkansas Sally Perdue and that story. I found that fascinating, and how that tied into the suicide of a naval admiral.
Yeah, well, it's just amazing, and I believe that she was the one that the Democratic official threatened to break her knees or whatever. She named the official, and you know, we know where you jog. I hope I'm not getting that mixed up. You know, there's so many.
No, that's right. Correct. Yeah.
And it's, you know, Clinton had, and you know, one of the most embarrassing things about the Clinton administration is really the way.
And she was someone that Clinton had allegedly had an affair with, and
right,
she was
going
to go public, and she was told. We know, I guess they knew where she jogged, right. And you might have your legs broken, this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, that's like a bad movie. I mean, some of the things these people say, it's like they're just regurgitating old gangster movie scripts. I mean, these people are in power and they're running things. It's not a Hollywood movie, unfortunately. But yes, you know, Sally Perdue was like Jennifer Flowers and so many, Kathleen Willey, and, you know, the list goes on. And obviously, I'm drawing a blank here. The woman that actually accused Clinton of rape, and NBC sat on the story for a while of actual rape, and these things.
You're talking about Jones, right? The Jones case.
No, not Paula Jones.
Okay.
I can't believe it. God, I'm drawing a blank on that.
Oh,
woman.
The Kathleen Willey case.
No, not Kathleen Willey. It was another person that.
Isn't it funny? It's like I keep naming off the women, and it's not that one. How does this on this case, though, going back to Miss Arkansas Sally Perdue?
Mm-hmm.
How does this tie into? I'm looking here. The section of on the Clintons, more Clinton body count. There is discussion here of an alleged suicide of a naval admiral named Jeremy Borda, who is found dead. Another suicide, but there are suicide notes that are not signed, and this is all in the same section. Tell us how that ties in.
Well, did I tie Jeremy Borda to her? I'm not sure. I believe I just had him as another mysterious death. I don't believe he's tied to her.
Right, right. It's the next paragraph, so I didn't know if there was a connection here.
No,
but what was Borda's scenario that he would have been at odds with the Clintons?
In many of these cases, you don't really know. I mean, I don't know for sure that they're. That he was at odds. We may not have any proof of that, but it's just another unnatural death. And I think that's why, you know,
In the Clinton administration, it's like how many people around you are committing suicide under suspicious circumstances.
As I've told, you know, other interviewers, it's the reason why these unnatural deaths are important is because most people simply don't kill themselves. Their bodies aren't found in the woods like Kathleen Willey's husband was. You know, they murdered or, you know, under suspicious circumstances or, you know, Jerry Parks, the driver that was, you know, told everybody he was going to be killed. It was Clinton and then was ran down in traffic and killed by unknown assailants. I mean, that if you knew anybody that happened to, that would be a life changing story. Like, what? That's so bizarre. But for Clinton, I mean, the plane crashes alone. I mean, it was a way of life for them. And people, I mean, even going up to 9/11, I mean, I don't associate Barbara Olson with the Clinton body count, but if you wanted to stretch it that way, you know, she was one of the highest profile figures that died on 9/11, and she was a big critic of the Clinton administration. She's written a book about Hillary, so I don't for a second say, you know, the Clintons ordered that or anything, because 9/11 was, I think, obviously much huger then, but that's just something that kind of went along with the Clintons, and it goes along with most of
the... Do you think that with Hillary running this time, do you think that more skeletons might come out of the closet? For example, there's this story that seems to be really developing about Clinton associating with this character, Jeffrey Epstein, these suspicious flights to islands with all kinds of sexual circumstances. And this guy, I guess, is, I don't know if he's been convicted of it. It's they call him here the billionaire pedophile.
Yeah,
here,
well, he's got a track record.
And
he's associated with the royal family and everything. Yeah, it's amazing. But these people, you almost can't believe it sometimes. But I think anything that will come to light, if you're depending on the mainstream media, I mean, NBC News, CBS, CNN, they're not certainly not going to do it. And Fox News is not going to do it either if it's a really big story. But again, on the internet, though, sure, you'll have plenty of more expose because the Clintons, like typical corrupt politicians, their entire career has been littered with this kind of stuff. Not littered just with bodies, but littered with corruption. You know, you go back to the cattle shares and Whitewater and all the stuff that Kenneth Starr, their alleged persecutor, whitewashed. And
those are things. Wow, Whitewater, I haven't heard that in a long time. And the cattle futures, how every trade was a winning trade. Yeah. You get to a point where it's like, okay, how many suicides? How many? Yeah. This is not possible that this is just all just coincidence around these people. I don't know. Have you, exposing not just the Clintons, but it looks like you've made enemies all the way back to the Garden of Eden here with this book. Have you yourself come up against any threats or had anybody whisper to you that your legs might be broken?
Nothing that dramatic. I haven't had anything. I don't worry about that. I mean, my family sometimes gets a little concerned, but I figure it. The reason why some of these things aren't exposed is because people are not willing to do it. And if they're willing to kill me over writing a book, then we've lost anyhow. I mean, all any human being can do. I mean, I don't fear any humans, and certainly, I mean, I don't. I want to live like everyone else, but it's. This is something that's big, and somebody has to do it. Sooner or later, somebody has to stand up and say enough is enough, because we can do better than this. I like to say that we could get any random group of preschoolers that could run this country better than the leaders.
Oh, yeah. And we're back to Bush or Clinton, that appears to be our two choices.
Yeah, what a choice. I mean,
July 17th, 1996, TWA Flight 800 disappears from radar, and... we still don't know what happened, but you've got some interesting thoughts on that in your book. And this was, of course, during the Clinton years. And wow, I read this section and I was like, wow. I mean, this individual by the name of James Sanders,
right.
And what happened to him. Start this story a little bit, and then we've got the break coming up, and then we'll get to the rest of it after the break.
Well, Sanders ends up being punished himself in the best tradition of this massive corruption we're under, instead of a typical whistleblower being punished rather than the wrongdoers. But in that case, I really think that's a kind of a cover-up that I almost understand, because I think it's pretty... very likely that it was an accident that the Navy was training in that area, and I believe that they accidentally, I don't believe they meant to shoot, I'm giving a little more credit than that, to shoot. I just think it was a freak thing. They were being typically irresponsible and careless, like, you know, the military can be. I think they shot it down, but just imagine, would you expect them? They would never acknowledge something like that.
Yeah, could you imagine, the Russians would do with that, or just here, you know, politically here in the U.S.? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we shift gears and we start getting into the conspiracy of all of them, the biggest of all of them, JFK assassination. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important, it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 1,500-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back, and in our final two segments, we will open it up for your questions. Remember the ground rules. If you want to email your question, that's fine. We need to know your city where you're listening, and then try to be brief, you know, 2-3 sentences max, and we'll try to get to as many questions as possible. The email address is jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. Or the better option for you is to come on with us live. Call in. You go right to the head of the line and you'll talk to Matt. He'll get your city. He'll put you on hold, and then you'll be on the air talking with myself and Don Jeffries. Your question about any of these conspiracies, the JFK assassination, Watergate, the Reagan years, Iran-Contra, the Clinton years, Bush the father, Bush the son, on and on and on, the Bilderbergs, Bohemian Grove, the world, one world government, the New World Order, any of this stuff, 877-317-6432 is the number, 877-317-6432. Again, you'll go right on the air with us, 877-317-6432, or questions by email to jim@christianmoney.com. All right, well, we line up some questions here. Let's move ahead and start talking about, as you call it in your book, the mother of all conspiracies, the JFK assassination. And I love the fact that, you know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but my business partner and I, my writing partner, Robert G. Yetman Jr., he and I, we wrote a book on the JFK assassination. And we get into that whole matter of Executive Order 11110 and the Federal Reserve. And you also mentioned that right here in your book. And it just seemed like there was a lot of people that had a lot of reasons to want to get rid of JFK. Is that sort of your take, that it wasn't necessarily one person or one individual, one agency? It was kind of like it was time for him to go, and that became more or less the collective thought of those in power.
Absolutely. I believe John F. Kennedy was the greatest threat to the establishment has seen in my lifetime. And one of the points of this book I tried to do is just telling the truth, I thought, is to try to resurrect the image of him as the great man that he was. And I believe the Kennedy's been unfairly treated, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of what you would call the posthumous assassination of him and RFK also after their deaths. You know, certainly as a baby boomer, I don't know what your age is, but as a baby boomer, I was 7 years old when JFK was killed, and it was a seminal event in my life, one of the first memories, very traumatic. I came from a Catholic family. All the Catholics were upset, you know, naturally, and as the first Catholic president. And it was inadequately explained. As a 7 year old, I knew that. I heard all my family talking about it. Most of them thought Johnson did it because they hated Johnson, because they could tell Johnson probably hated Catholics, and so they figured, well, you know. And just the way, everything about it, the fact that it you can trace this back at 50 years and see the way the media responded. I mean, I have the quote in there, I believe it was NBC News, that agreed with the FBI's directive to only report, this is right after the assassination, only report matters that are in consonance with the FBI's conclusions. I mean, right from the very minute, and you can read the memo written by Nicholas Katzenbach, who, you know, Robert F. Kennedy's attorney general was devastated, and so Nicholas Katzenbach was basically acting attorney general as the assistant to him, and he wrote a memo to Bill Moyers, who later became, an LBJ aide and now is a PBS journalist, and where he just read it for yourself. I mean, the public, as soon as Oswald was killed, literally, he must have sat down and dictated that letter while, you know, before his body was cold, and said, "The public must be satisfied that Oswald was the assassin, that he had no Confederates at large, there was no conspiracy." This is the acting Attorney General of the United States, and that's what the early critics saw. When they saw this, they realized, you know, from the very get-go, they had no intention of ever investigating this crime, and that's what left such a bitter taste in so many young kids' mouths. The people a little bit older than me, that were teenagers at the time, it disillusioned them because they were idealistic. You know, they were going to the Peace Corps and everything, and it really shattered them. And I think it paved the way for the rest of the '60s, the violence and the disenchantment with the establishment. I think it all was because of the Kennedy assassination and what we lost that day, and the fact it was never explained. Everybody knew it was a lie, and they're still lying about it 50 years later. And it doesn't matter if they can get Tom Hanks and James Franco and all these Hollywood, Stephen King, if they can get these people to continue to parrot this monstrous lie, those of us who have investigated, you know, obviously, if you wrote a book about it, spend, you know, a couple weeks just studying the evidence. And
yeah, I mean, one of the things that struck me, and it's just like you said, when you sit down and start researching this for yourself, when you're going to, like we did, actually write our own book on this, when you understand that Jack Ruby was hanging out around the police station with a gun in his pocket, waiting for his opportunity, and he didn't just happen to show up. I mean, I don't know, back in the day, it's just unbelievable to me that Jack Ruby could be hanging out and have access like he did. And when you look at the timeline, you know, how quickly we have the identification of Oswald as a suspect. So JFK's assassination, if I have the timeline right here, is a Friday, and then by Sunday, Oswald is dead.
Right.
It's just wow.
Yeah.
That took my breath away. Understanding that timeline, when you think about it, Friday around lunchtime is the shooting, and then by around that same time on Sunday, Oswald is dead, and there's nowhere you go from there, really, with Oswald dead. And then you look at the guy that shot Oswald, and it makes no sense what motivation he would have to kill Oswald. It just, none of it makes any sense.
No, and he, you know, he was a two-bit hoodlum with mobster ties going way back to the days of Al Capone, a two-bit nightclub operator. And the idea, I mean, and this is what you talked about, the fact that he was stalking. I mean, he was at a press conference, and he corrected Henry Wade and said, no, it's the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. You know all about Oswald. And he was stalking him for days. The Warren Commission had witnesses, very credible witnesses, including a well-known journalist who described talking to Ruby and how he was asking questions about the case and everything. But they, you know, were going with this absurd, you know, explanation that he, on the spur of the moment, he decided to go down there, and he had a Western Union telegram, and, you know, this was, but, you know, they're completely discounting all the even video of him, as you said, that where he was, you know, obviously stalking Oswald, and the fact that he was able to shoot the alleged assassin, where 70-plus police officers were in that basement, and his front was left entirely unprotected. They didn't surround him like, you know, it would seem to me, not being in law enforcement, but I think I would just say, hey, you know, you need to be, especially if they, you know, had threats to his life, they knew the public was threatening to lynch him or whatever in the atmosphere there in Dallas. But instead, they just trot him out. He's, you know, you hear a strange car horn honk, you know, as if to program somebody, and then Ruby jumps out, nobody stops him and shoots him, and it becomes, you know, just a bigger, you know, dramatic impact on America when that happened. And again, that just added, it wasn't enough with the assassination, but then they picked this guy out, you know, condition the public to believe he's guilty over the next 48 hours, and then he's shot in the midst of all this law enforcement, and we're expected to believe that this is just, you know, he's just a random guy, he shot him, and there's another random guy that did it. And that story stayed even after people read I have long excerpts from Jack Ruby's Warren Commission testimony. People need to read it. Again, it's like a movie script. He's begging to tell the truth. He's begging the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Earl Warren, future President of the United States, Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission, he's begging them to take him out of Dallas, and he tells them, my life is in danger here. I can't tell you what I need to tell you. And they keep making excuses. No, no, we really can't. There's a lot involved in that, Mr. Ruby. I mean, you have to read it to believe it. And it's you know, in the official record, it's what he actually said, and it doesn't reflect well on Earl Warren and Gerald Ford and anybody else that was there.
Shocking. Shocking. Today, it's shocking. 52 years later, I guess we're going to be at. All right. When we come back, we've got some questions lined up here. Somebody wants to talk about Ron Brown. We're going to go back to the Clintons. And your questions, 877-317-6432. Our guest, Don Jeffries. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Jim Paris, radio talk show host and editor of the website ChristianMoney.com. You may know me from my numerous appearances on the 700 Club. I was a multimillionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy by the age of 40. What I learned during my financial collapse was a revolutionary new way of praying for my finances, and it's revealed in my brand new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Now, the book has been endorsed by Dave Ramsey, former vice presidential candidate Wayne Allen Root, TV radio talk show host George Nori, and countless others. I want to send you a free 48-minute audio overview of the book. All I need you to do is call my office and leave your email address on my voicemail. The number to dial, 888-427-8755. 888-427-8755. Again, 888-427-8755.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Nori, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Bright Side Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit criticalhealthnews.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join our Critical Health News team. Go to criticalhealthnews.com. That's criticalhealthnews.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. Our last segment, 877-317-6432. If you'd like to jump on board with your question by phone, 877-317-6432. Or we're taking questions by email, jim@christianmoney.com. jim@christianmoney.com. And I've got some questions here, but before I get to them, I got to get to this because I don't want us to run out of time and not be able to discuss this. This is in a section of the book, Don, that you have that you call the Obama body count.
Right.
And I was just deeply disturbed, the story here of Donald Young, 47-year-old choir director and deacon at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, who was found shot to death in December of 2007. Tell us about that.
Well, again, I believe that's the connection there tangentially to Obama is obviously from the church. And also, I believe he's one of the ones that Larry Sinclair, you probably know about him, who's told stories about Obama. He's like a lot of Clinton's accusers were, where he's accused Obama of many, many things. But again, we have a young guy, and he's not the only one. I forget the other fellow's name. There's another young man at the church there who died, you know, violently and unnaturally like that. And I believe the mother of, I believe it's Donald Young's mother that, you know, certainly questions it. But it's the same old story, though. You know, we go back to LBJ at least, and where you have these deaths happen, and they're the mainstream media isn't interested in them. You're called a kook if you even bring it up. And you know, I don't know what it means. I mean, I don't believe that Clinton or Obama or the Bushes or anybody are sitting there and, you know, sending out directives to hit people. But you can't ignore these
things. I think it's fascinating, though, that here I am. I've never heard any of these names. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never heard the name Donald Young or this story. I mean, and I follow the news pretty closely. I didn't, and there's a whole section here, Obama's body count. I mean, this is just, of course, Andrew Breitbart you get to in here and on and on and on. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Andrew Breitbart, certainly one of the most incredible ones because there's a high profile figure. And again, it's like in so many of these stories, it's almost like a movie because, you know, much like Michael Hastings, you know, the journal's very similar in both cases. They both talked about, in Breitbart's case, he bragged about, I'm going to blow the lid off of everything with this video of Obama. And then, Then he just drops dead on the street.
It wouldn't be taken as a movie script because it would sound right. too ridiculous. You would never. This would. It's too ridiculous to.
Right.
To look at. I mean, this would not be a script you could sell. All right. So from Chicago, emailer wants to talk about. Want you to talk about Ron Brown. They say here that they have read your book. They want you to share the Ron Brown story, and I'm not familiar with that section of your book. I didn't read every single section of it, so I'm going to be hearing this for the first time myself. So Ron Brown is Clinton's, what is he? He's in the cabinet, right? He's the Commerce Secretary?
Yes, exactly. He was probably... I guess if, you know, I was saying Vince Foster was the highest ranking executive. Well, when Ron Brown died under mysterious circumstances, he became the highest ranking executive officer, I guess, to die. But, you know, he died in a plane crash. And the mysterious thing about it was that there were reports that he had a bullet hole in his head. And, you know, again, there's, you have to read the details of these things. Christopher Ruddy, who did some great work on the Vince Foster case, did some great work on this, too. And one of the other really strange elements of it is, as I remember, they had one survivor to the plane crash, was a stewardess, who appeared to be perfectly fine and then subsequently died. Before she could, I mean, you have to, these things, and they all have these kind of conspiratorial elements to it that are, it's almost like they're being written by really bad hack writers. But, I mean, you know, he dies in a plane crash, but because you can't even figure, what does that even mean? Why would he have a bullet hole in the head?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
You read the section of my book, you have the medical people testifying to it. You have Christopher Ruddy, who's a hell of an investigator when he wants to be. And he did a great job on it. And you know, it convinced me something's going on there. And in Ron Brown's case, he was a thoroughly corrupt politician, but... The rumor is that he told Clinton that, hey, look, I'm not going down by myself. I'm bringing you down with me, surely. But now, you know, whether that happened, I don't know. But again, it sounds like a movie script. But
all right, email here from Dallas, Texas. They want to know if you get into the Oklahoma City bombing in your book, and the answer is yes, he does. But I have not read that section of the book yet either. What are your thoughts, Don, on the Oklahoma City bombing? That again brings us back to the Clinton years.
Yeah, well, it was basically a legal lynching. Timothy McVeigh was his trial was a travesty of justice. Most people don't realize that the prosecution never even introduced evidence that he was at the scene of the crime. Now, he was at the scene of the crime. I think everyone agrees. But the problem is they couldn't introduce any of the witnesses who saw him there because every single one of those witnesses saw him with at least one other person, the elusive John Doe number two, who even Janet Reno talked about early on. But like in so many of these cases, you know, go back to the Hoffman and Lindbergh case, eventually all the other mysterious shadowy conspirators that witnesses talked about, they just disappeared on the memory hole, and they go after the one guy. And then poor Terry Nichols, who there's absolutely no evidence to connect him to this thing, or no credible evidence. But in McVeigh's case, he said really nothing. He didn't testify in his own defense, and then he ends it all with this book written by these two guys claiming they had all these... terrible things that McVeigh said at the end about collateral damage and stuff. And I don't believe, you know, I have no proof, but I don't believe they talked to him, because I find it hard to believe that McVeigh stayed silent, didn't testify in his own defense, and then said these horrible things. And of course, he was executed, and, you know, our justice system delays these executions forever. His case, they were pretty quick about it. And he was gone before he could do too much talking. And it's a shame, because that at that point in time, there was a real burgeoning third-party movement. Ross Perot already ran for president once. People were showing they were really dissatisfied with what I call the Republicrats, these two identical parties, and they wanted another choice. And this really served to demonize. They just started talking. Bill Clinton just really used it to his advantage. And, you know, he demonized talk radio. He demonized, this was really before the internet, right at the dawn of it.
Oh, yeah. Who knows who was really behind it ultimately. I'm saying that I haven't read that section of your book, but it was clearly used for a number of political purposes, and no doubt. All right. Another email from Chicago. And I'm glad they brought this question up, because I would have made a huge mistake not to get to this topic. The death of JFK Jr., which you get into this in your book, And I was very interested because I'd heard a little bit of talk over the years about, well, something doesn't seem quite right here. But it's just, again, the Kennedys either seem to be under some umbrella of bad luck or something, because just too many of them die in odd ways. And what are your thoughts on JFK Jr.'s plane crash?
Well, I investigated it thoroughly, and I would urge everyone to read that section of my book, because it's the first independent, in-depth investigation into that case that I know of. And I have no doubt that it wasn't an accident. He was, I believe, about to enter his political career. I talked to two old friends of his, and both of them assured me, and they, of course, they wanted to remain anonymous, too, but there's still that fear there. But they both assured me that he had been obsessed with his father's assassination for years. I talked to another reporter, Wayne Madsen, who told me that he was set to meet with JFK Jr. the week after he died to work for George Magazine, because he wanted him to head his own investigation into his father's assassination. If you look at what I have in there, there's the 9:39 p.m. phone call, which was reported nonstop and all. I have the unedited early videotape coverage of it. You can see I talked to a journalist that was at the scene that told me independently all by himself that, hey, something didn't smell right about that case. He talked to a local reporter that saw an explosion in the sky. No one's been able to track that reporter down.
And there was quite a delay. You in your book, this person says, you allude to in your book, which I haven't read this section thoroughly, but that there was quite a delay in the search for the plane. Is that the case?
Oh yeah, definitely. And the way the military, I mean, it took everything over. I mean, JFK was never even in the armed services. They had no jurisdiction there. It made no sense. They knew from the original beacon, they knew about where he would have been, and they searched everywhere else. They were just kind of flying around in circles, and the whole thing made no sense. I mean, I have a detailed account of it in there, and it's people really need to read the entire thing to understand how big the cover up was. But it's another case of a Kennedy where. You're right. They kind of want you to believe they're cursed. They're not cursed. And
you got to wonder too. Some of these people are megalomaniacs. I mean, it's like you could imagine, for example, like the Clintons saying, "Hey, if this guy keeps rising, we'll never get to where we want to get." So, I mean, this all sounds far fetched, but you start looking at it and you think, you know, who knows? All right, so how do we get in touch with Don Jeffries? Do you have a website, sir, do you want to give us?
Well, my website is not really good at the time, but I have a blog called Keeping It Unreal after my novel, The Unreals, which has just been re-released on a second edition.
What I'll do, sir, since we're out of time, I'll put a link to that on the Twitter feed. Grab the book, Hidden History, Don Jeffries. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll be back next Sunday night. Thanks for joining us.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. 845-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.